So I thank you for being here today. Thank you those of who are still watching online. We want to acknowledge that there are still those who are watching. And if you are unable to come to church for any reason whatsoever, we want to remind you that the service is being posted on our website. And so if you are able to tap into the website and you're unable to be here physically, we do have these messages and we have the whole entire service online. So tell others, tell those people who potentially don't have a church home. Maybe that could be the first time that they actually visit us. And the facts are true that most non-Christians that visit church, is their first visit is not through the open doors, it's through our website. And so take a look at our website, take a look, it's on your bulletin there, the web address, and really it's a really great outreach opportunity. So many great things on that website, so we wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. But today we're going to be talking about something that is so hard and so difficult, and especially during times like this. As we see in our world today, all you have to do is just thumb through the news or watch the nightly news, and you'll see that there is something that is lacking in our lives, in a lot of people's lives, is this self-discipline. The power of self-discipline is understanding that this thing called self-discipline is all throughout Scripture, is weaved throughout Scripture. And so, as we think of what self-discipline is, and understanding that, you know, we really want to be sure that we know what that is in our lives. And so we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture that really helps us figure this out. And I want to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through 7 today. So we've got it on the screen. We've got 6 through 7. I'm going to start with verse 4. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." Verse 6. "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline." And so, have you ever done anything that you didn't want to do or did not want to do something that you did? I mean, I think we all can look back and think back in our lives, maybe it was even yesterday, that you've done something that you just really didn't want to do, that you just said, "Oh man, I can't believe I did that. I'm so disappointed with myself." I mean, there's times in our lives daily that we go throughout life and say, "Oh, I missed the mark." "Oh, I made a mistake." Or even things that "I wish I wouldn't have done that." Whether it's your diet, right? You see that box of donuts there and you're like, "Oh, I just got to grab a donut." And then you go, "Oh, I really wish I didn't do that" afterwards. I don't care if it's from donuts to driving. I really was just infuriated with that person driving next to me and I cut that person off in road rage. I hope that's not you today. But it happens. That desire for doing something that we don't want to do, the desire to be and have a lack of self-discipline. You see, as we think about self-discipline, this is that what Paul was talking to Timothy about. He was simply saying, listen, you've got to have this self-discipline. God didn't give us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And so what this self-discipline, the amplified version of this passage says, well-balanced in mind and disciplined in self-control. The King James Version says a sound mind. So you may have learned this passage of with a sound mind. The Contemporary English Version says self-control. And the original Greek is an admonishing or calling to soundness of mind, to moderation and self-control. And so in this passage, basically, Paul is saying the Spirit of God didn't give us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. You see, what is this discipline? What is this thing of sound mind, of peacefulness that we're talking about here? See, self-discipline is when your conscience tells you something and you don't talk back, right? It's when your conscience or when your being, your soul, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's telling you to do something or not do something, and you don't disagree. You just absolutely say, okay, I'll be okay with this. It's self-discipline. You see, I remember plenty of times in my life, and in fact, interestingly enough, this week as I was preparing for this sermon, God gave me this great illustration in my life and a test, if you will, to see what I will do in my life. There was a certain circumstance at school this week and a certain thing that really, really made me angry. I mean, I was so livid at something that took place at the school with one of my kids, and it wasn't my kids this time. It was with a coach, and something had taken place. I'm not going to get into it because it's recorded, and I don't want anything to negatively to happen. But you see, something that just really torqued me bad. It was wrong. It was absolutely wrong, and I was just livid. I had to go outside, and I had to pray, Lord, what do I do with this? What do I do in this situation? What is this? What is going on here? I had to literally say, God, you need to take over right now. Because what I wanted to do was something very ungodly. And it wasn't even like it was ungodly. It was just, it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be the right thing to do. I would be right in doing it because anybody else would have called that coach and gave him a just been ungodly. But I said, Lord, I need your help here. I need your help. And it was interesting because God kind of said, guess what you're preaching on this morning? Self-discipline. And I had to just, it was with everything within me. As a Christian, as a man, as a father, it took everything within me to self-discipline, and to be disciplined of self, to say, I'm just not going to act here. Because I know that God wouldn't be pleased. How many times do we go through life and understand that we walk in that step and we want to just do something that is absolutely fleshly and into our desires, and that we have a lack of self-discipline. And then we look back and we say, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. I don't have it on the screen, I don't think, but it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. I do have it on the screen. I'm good. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Now that's wisdom right there. That's wisdom when it comes to being self-disciplined. It's not pleasant at the time. It's painful, in fact. And in fact, I experienced that this week. It was painful for me to keep my mouth closed. It was painful for me to not to write that email. It was painful for me not to grab the phone and call someone and tell them what I thought. But later, as I think about it, how could I stand here this morning if I made the wrong decision? I couldn't truly stand before here and say, you need to be self-controlled, when I can't even be self-controlled in my life. But isn't that how Satan works? He works like that time and time again. And so when we think of self-control, I picked on this one because when we think of the passage of Scripture that we're talking about this morning, that Paul says the Spirit doesn't give us the spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of self-discipline. You see, I think we understand this, the spirit of power that we have through the Holy Spirit. We get that. I think we understand that the Holy Spirit gives us power. And I think we understand that the love comes, that when we try to love people, God gives us that love of people that they don't deserve sometimes, or that love of people that sometimes feels like, wow, where did that come from? But I truly love that person. The Holy Spirit can give us that, and I think we understand that. But I tell you what, I don't understand sometimes is that the Spirit brings us this power of self-discipline. I struggle. And I'm sure you do too. When we think of life, when we think of temptations, this self-discipline in our lives, it doesn't seem pleasant. It's not pleasant. It's not fun. It's painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. You see, in our world, I mean, I would just, if I can identify what's going on in our lives right now, would in one word, it's just chaos. Chaos. I mean, unless you're living in a cave, you absolutely understand what's going on in this world, and it's chaos. I mean, our nation is being polarized so much. I mean, from the right to the left, it's being polarized absolutely more than I've ever seen it in my entire life. You see, we've got opinions and we've got rebellions, we've got riots, we've got everything in between, and we see chaos taking place. Anger, just sheer anger and evil is being displayed on our streets night after night after night. The American flag, the national anthem. I mean, you know, I'm not holding a rally right now, but you understand where I'm coming from. It is absolutely disgraceful of what's going on in our country right now. See, in one word, it's chaos. And it's absolutely chaotic what's going on. And we understand that we as Christians have a part to play. We as Christians need to be ready, like we talked about last week. We as Christians need to be making sure that we are equipped and that we are going to be used by God. And I think a lot of this today, and that's why I needed to touch on this word, self-discipline, today. Because we as Christians have to hold on to this self-discipline. We have to be sure. I mean, this reaches all the way from a sinful lifestyle. We can talk about that in camp there for a minute. The sinful lifestyle that we need to be self-disciplined enough to say no to sin. That we need to be self-disciplined enough in our lives to be sure that we're honoring God in holiness. All the way to being self-disciplined enough to know when to not talk. When to not say something. When to not be crude. When not to be rude. You see, we've got to be careful to understand that this self-discipline is a huge thing. But the Spirit of God will instill it within your hearts when we walk in step with Him. You see, the first time I learned this self-discipline was when I was in high school. I was in football. I was in sports my whole life, really. It seemed like I was holding a baseball bat when I was probably 4 years old. And I loved sports. And it wasn't until high school football where I really got my world rocked. Because up until then, it was all about selfishness and what you can gain from, you know, how you can be the best baseball player that you could be or the best basketball player. It's all about self. But it wasn't until I got to high school, varsity football, my 10th grade year, that my world got rocked. Here I am, this sophomore punk on varsity, and these guys are big and smelly and crazy and tough, and I'm like, holy cow, what am I doing here? My coach was intense, which all good coaches should be. I appreciated what he did for us as a team, but more or less I appreciate what he did for me as a person. He taught me what self-discipline was all about. See, most coaches think that discipline is something that you are to impart on people and on your team, and that you're just to discipline them by running more, or doing more push-ups, doing more things. That's discipline. But what my coach taught us was self-discipline. Because every good coach doesn't just coach for the here and now. A great coach will coach up a young man or young woman for the future. So there's your coaching tip for the day. For those of you who are coaching, if you're not just raising those children up to be good soccer players, right, Kat? You're lifting them up to be amazing people for the future. And my coach did that. He taught me what self-discipline was, and he taught us as a team that it mattered. It didn't matter what you did as an individual. It didn't matter of how you made. Made a play here or did this here. It's the self-discipline of what it took to make that happen on Friday night. We used to chant as we were working out. We used to chant the great words of Vince Lombardi. We used to say, champions have the will to prepare. Champions have the will to prepare. We understood that, and it was a self-discipline thing in our lives, is that it doesn't matter how many wind sprints we do. It doesn't matter how many down-ups we do. It matters on how hard you work in your own life. We used to chant, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." Another great quote from Vince Lombardi. You see, I tell you this story is because I understood, I became a man on that football field that year. I knew then that I would be nothing unless I had self-discipline in my life. And that we can apply that to so many situations, and I have. I've applied that so many ways in my life. You see, to be champions in God's kingdom, we have to have the will to prepare to do the tasks that our Father asks us to do. To share in the victories of Christ, we need to be self-disciplined. And church, I want you to apply that anywhere where you need to apply it today. Self-discipline. Whether you need to say no to sin, whether you need to be careful of how you are acting, whether you need to be quiet in moments of being quiet, or self-discipline to actually do something about something in your life. Like read your Bible. Like take those times of prayer. Be self-disciplined enough to prepare for what God has for you. See, I love this. I love this passage of scripture that Paul writes. He said, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you." To fan into flame. This is our part. This is our part. To fan into flame. So first of all, there's fear. We're not to be timid in this life or fearful, Paul says. Too many Christians live in a fear of something going wrong or something bad happening. We are to be fearful. We are fearful of what others might say to us or what others might do to us. But let me tell you something, what we are to fear. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 through 5. I love this. Man, this is good. Stick with me here. I'm just hold on. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 through 5, Jesus said, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him after killing the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Now, I remember as a young Christian reading this passage of scripture, I was like, yeah, Satan, man, we got to fear Satan. Satan is powerful. Satan is scary. Satan has a lot of authority that he's the prince of the power of the air. He's this ruler of this horrible world that we have. But if you read this passage of scripture, guess what they're saying? Guess what Jesus is saying? "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after killing the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him. Who has power to throw you into hell? God." Satan has no authority. He has no power to throw you into hell. We are to fear God Almighty. We are to fear God Almighty. And so we're not to be timid, Paul says. Don't be fearful. Don't worry. Don't be fretful in life. The only thing you should fear is God and your future for all of eternity. And so we're not to fear life, but we are to fan that gift of God. This word fan gives instructions to the Christian that we're to actually do something. We're to produce, and we're to just like a fan into flame. You ever made a bonfire before? You've got to have oxygen. You've got to fan it. You've got to do something. There's producing something. God provided you all with a gift. God has given all of us a gift. It is our job to put fuel to the fire. It is our job to put fuel to the fire. And so when we fan into flame that gift of God that is within all of us, we are filled. The product of fanning is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what happens when we are filled, we're free. Without fear. You see, so self-discipline, being self-disciplined is so vital when we understand the end goal of the Holy Spirit filling us. What happens when we fear? We're not being filled. What do we need to be filled? We need to fan. And when do we need to fan? When we fear. And so if you're fearful today, fan the gift of God. The gift of God. So that therefore you will not be timid, but you will be filled with power. You'll be filled with love and have self-discipline in your life. And so what a great passage of scripture that we can truly dissect this morning and pull out the truths. So as the band comes up today, we want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning. This self-discipline thing for us, it may be hard for you. It may be very, very difficult. The self-discipline in your life, the lack thereof, is only hurting you and your relationship with God, the one whom you should fear. And so maybe you're struggling in here today. Maybe you're struggling here today one way or the other, whether it's actually doing something or not doing something, or you're over here struggling with what, you know, I don't have self-discipline or control over my life, over my words, over my actions, whatever it is. There's a key here that I want you to understand. The key here is understanding these words here in verse 7. For God did not give us, but he gave us this. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, spirit of timidity, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And so if I'm asking you the question, if we do 1 + 1 = 2, are you in God today? Are you lacking self-discipline? Maybe your relationship with God is suffering. Maybe your relationship with God isn't where it needs to be. Because if God has given you something, you will produce fruit. But if God isn't quite where you need to be, if you're not right where you need to be with God today, you're going to lack self-discipline. You're going to lack power. You're going to lack the spirit of love. If you're not in the right relationship with God, you may be timid and fearful today. Just reading God's word. And so I encourage you, church, let us not be fearful. Let us not be timid. Let us not be that people. But let's get into God, because he's given us the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Let's stand together. So after every time I preach, I try to break it down to where you can take what God wants you to take from. Try to make it clear enough to where you need to go from this place changed or different, or something needs to be fixed in your life. And so I can imagine today that some of you in here today may be really, really convicted by God's Spirit today, that you simply are understanding that I need to be self-disciplined in an area of my life that I'm lacking in. Maybe you're in here today that you're simply saying, I come to church regularly on a regular basis, but my self-discipline has not been there with my devotional life, with reading God's word, spending time in prayer. Maybe you need a change. I can't make us do wind sprints this morning. Can't make us do push-ups this morning. All I can do is encourage you to have self-discipline in your life, in your walk with God. I love what the Greek says, this word self-discipline. I read it earlier. A calling to soundness of mind. We call that peace. We call that peace. So if you're fearful, if you're anxious, if your anxiety is through the roof, God gives us the power of self-discipline, of a sound mind. Let's let him do his work today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would just reach and teach in the depths of our soul this morning. Check our hearts, check our lives, God, if some of us have been winging it and doing it on our own, shooting from the hip, making bad decisions. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and do a mighty work in our hearts so that we would fan into flame, so that we would be able to move forward being self-disciplined, controlled, and peaceful in our lives. Guide us, oh God, in these horrible, horrible times that we live in this world. Let us be a light. Let us be joy. Let us be love. Let us be people without fear and timidity. I pray that as a church, God, that we would move forward in working and doing and just being your hands and your feet to this community. We love you, God, today. Do a work in us this morning. Continue to work in our hearts and our lives. We give you our hearts. In Jesus' name.